Would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today from here in North? We welcome you. Wherever you're at today, we thank you that you're there. We know you've already had a time of worship, and now we're getting ready to go into the Word of God. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I am grateful that each week I get the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Would you grab your Bible today or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded into? Let's make our confession together. It's coming up on the screen. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And yes, I missed a sentence. Just keeping you on your toes. Take your Bibles today and go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we're going to be there today. We've been talking about the subject of following. We talked the first week that if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you've got to be all in. That it takes everything in your life and you say, God, I am selling out to your kingdom. And we talked about all the different aspects of what that means. Last week, we talked about tuning in. We talked about that if we're going to have a relationship with God, we got to talk to him. It's called prayer, but we've got to spend time with him, talking to him, and coming to that place where we have this relationship with him. And the Bible talks about praying without ceasing and how that our whole life is to be covered by prayer. And gave some specifics in that last week of how we drill down into there. Today, I want to talk about digging in, all right? So we talked about all in and tuning in. Today, we're going to talk about digging in. And 2 Timothy 3 is our passage where we're going to begin today. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and verse 17 is a very familiar passage to most people. But it's just the whole aspect. I said two, I meant three. I'm already messed up, right? I thought that hour didn't mess me up, all right? Verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, here's what I want to say to you. The Word of God is vitally important. And a lot of times, we have a tendency to make it kind of, you know, the last thing that we do. Or it's one of those things that we mean to do. We mean to get into the Word. We mean to study the Word. We mean to read the Word of God and on and on and on. But we find ourselves not really stepping into that place where we're digging in, where we're getting into the Word of God and letting the Word of God speak to us. And so as I begin to look at this, I thought, you know, why is it important for us to be in the Word of God? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? And as I begin to look at it, I thought, wait a minute, there are some things about the Word of God that we believe, and I want to talk about them real quickly, and then we'll kind of go a little further in this today. But first of all, we believe that the Word of God is infallible, okay? We believe that God's Word is infallible. In other words, that the Word of God is without error. That when it was written by the men of old, the prophets of old that wrote the scripture, the Bible says that it was God-breathed. Now, what that means is that God spoke into their spirit and they wrote it out. Now, it didn't do away with their personality, because you can read what John wrote, and you can read what Paul wrote, you can read what the Apostle Peter wrote, or you go back to Isaiah or Jeremiah, and you can see that their personality came through. But what we do believe is that it is infallible, that it is written and that it is given to us in this form, and that we believe, let me say this to you, we believe that God is powerful enough to preserve his word to this day, right? That it's not just, I don't know if God's able to. No. Wait a minute. If he was able to have men and write the word of God, then he is able to preserve that to us to this day. So when we read the word of God, we believe it's infallible. Secondly, we believe that it's complete. That in other words, that the canon of scripture, as has been accepted by the church for thousands of years now, is the complete word of God. Now there's always somebody telling us, well, we found a new book of the Bible. We found Thomas has a letter, and this one has a letter, and we found this. And usually it's some spurious writing that has been out there. We just believe in this house and in our ministry, we believe that God, through the process of some councils in the first few hundred years after Jesus died, we believe that God enabled the church at that time to completely put the scripture together, that the 66 books that we have are complete, and we don't need to be searching for others to add in so we can have a further revelation of what God is saying, that he has already told us what it is. The third thing is that we believe that the Word of God is authoritative. In other words, we believe that God's Word is given to us to direct us in our life. Now, let me say this to you. We live in a kingdom, and in fact, everybody lives in a kingdom. Right? If you study the scripture, we either live in the kingdom of darkness or we live in the kingdom of God's dear Son. So everybody's in a kingdom. And so in that kingdom, there is a king. And here's what you'll find out when you study a true king. A true king's word is law. Right? And so what we find is this, is that God has stated in his word a lot of things. And I don't know about you, there are some things in the word of God I don't like. Anybody else? Am I the only one? I mean, there's some stuff I don't like in here. There's some stuff. There are times where a lie would really work good. It's like the little kid in Sunday school who said, you know, the Bible says that a lie is a present help in a time of trouble. You know, does this make me look fat? A lie is a present. Y'all all right? See, but the Word of God says, thou shalt not lie. In fact, the Word of God is pretty clear. It says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, that's a pretty directed thing there. I mean, on and on and on. When you read the Word of God, there are a lot of things in the Word of God that I would just go, I wish he'd left that out. I, when it says to be subject to the laws of the land. They're just some of them I think are pretty stupid. And I just don't want to obey them. But have you ever read stuff in Scripture that you just went, I have trouble with that? I do too. And that's part of being human and in our fallen nature. But what we have to do is we have to come back. If we don't, let me say it this way. If we don't believe that God's Word is authoritative, then we have no standard to guide our lives. All right. If you study American history, what you will find is for about the first 100 years or so, all of our laws, our Constitution, pretty much everything came out of and based on the Word of God. Now, you go back and study it. The laws were written and they were based on the Word of God. Now, we have definitely strayed from that in the last, especially the last 25 to 50 years. But originally, we based our laws on the Word of God. Why? Because men and women understood that the Word of God gave us direction for our lives, and that you and I have the ability, if we will only allow God to speak to us through his word, to live life and to do what God's called us to do. But I have to be willing to say, not my will, but your will is to be done in my life, right? The fourth thing and the last one is that we believe that the word of God is sufficient. All right? Now, I believe that God still speaks, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe that God still reveals things to us to this day. I believe God gives us dreams and visions and other gifts of the Spirit that are available. But I also believe that the Word of God is sufficient. Now, let me say it to you this way. I believe if I never got another word from God, if I never had another dream, if I never saw a vision, that the Word of God gives me enough for my life. All right? And so I want us today to understand that we've got to be careful. There are a lot of people who are chasing signs and wonders, right? And the Word of God does not say that you ought to be following signs and wonders. The Word of God says signs and wonders ought to be following you. All right, so when we come to that place, we just say, wait a minute, the Word of God is sufficient, and I don't have to have a, boy, it got quiet. I don't have to have another dream. I don't have to have a vision. I don't have to somebody give me a word. I can go to the Word, and it is sufficient for my life. Now, why should we dig in? Why should we dig deep into the Word of God? We're talking about digging in today. Why is that important? I mean, today of all days, Pastor, why are you talking to us about digging? You know, today, we want you just to give us something easy and something nice and pretty today. Just don't. Well, listen, it's important to us because we've got to understand what God's Word says. The book of Joshua, the first chapter in the 8th verse says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and what? Night. So that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. I love that passage because the Word of God tells us in that scripture how that you and I can find our lives moving into success in the arena of what God has said. So why should I dig into the Word of God? Well, number one is to obey God and to grow. I need to grow as a believer. How many of you, let me ask this question, how many of you have somebody in your family who they may be 45, but they just have never grown? Right? And isn't that wonderful? Right? I was talking to somebody, in fact, last night, a friend of mine called, and I was talking to him and talking about a specific person who ought to know better, and they said, oh, what are they, in the fifth grade? And I said, yeah, that's about right. You know, they act like, and all of us have people in our lives who, I saw some of y'all, don't be doing this. That's not nice in church. That's really rude, guys. Cut that out, okay? But we find ourselves at times in the kingdom of God, and it's like we're still living at the same level. We haven't moved on in everything that God has. 1 Peter 2 says this: therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy. Anybody ever hypocritical? Come on, tell the truth. Rest of you just were. So I'll give you another chance. Anybody ever hypocritical? Come on, I'm a hypocrite sometimes. I'll talk to y'all. They're mad at me. I'll talk to the campuses. I can't see them. There are times that I just have to be honest. I haven't put all, hallelujah, brother, and I just want to go, bam. Right? How many of you still remember those words you shouldn't remember? Six of you. I got saved, but I still remember the words. And I'm not going to say them because Jesus and my wife wouldn't be happy. But sometimes, man, instead of blessing somebody, I got some words I'd like to lay on them, and it ain't the word. Just pray for me. Envy and slander of every kind. He goes on to say, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And so every one of us are at that point that we're needing to grow. I haven't fully matured yet. Hopefully I have in the natural, but in the spirit I'm still growing. And that's what the Word of God does, is that the Word of God, as I dig in, as I get into the Word of God, it helps me to grow and become what God wants me to be. The second reason that I should dig into the Word of God is because it helps me to avoid false teaching. There's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, I don't know about you, but I see a lot of stuff, and I hear a lot of stuff, even on quote-unquote Christian television sometimes, and I just go, man, that is so far off, right? The book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse says, my people are destroyed from a lack of what? Knowledge. It didn't say from a lack of feeling something when they went to church. I mean, you get the band going just right, you'll feel something, right? I mean, people, a lot of, can I just do this for a minute? I will, thank you, amen. A lot of people don't understand. They say, oh, I really felt something in service today. Well, we can be stirred soulishly. You know, you get the right singers and the right band, you hit the right chords, I'm not against us being stirred soulishly, because we are spirit, soul, and body. We're made that way, but we need to understand that sometimes, you know, things get to going good, and we drop our guard completely. Paul commends a group of people in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. And listen to what he says. He says, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. Now think about that. He's been at two different churches, and he says the church at Thessalonica wasn't really discerning. He said those at Berea, he said they received the message with great eagerness. Now, he said they were open, they received it, but he said then they went home and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Wow. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I mean, if anybody has his doctrine correct, it ought to be the Apostle Paul. And yet he is commending this church at Berea and saying, I commend them because they took the word, they received it with eagerness, they said amen and hallelujah when I preached. Boy, that was a good place for an amen. All right? He said they received it eagerly, but he said then they went home and said, what does the Word of God really say? Have you ever heard somebody that is so good they can make you believe anything? I mean, I know some pulpiteers that are unbelievable communicators. And I've listened to some of them, and they've almost convinced me of erroneous doctrine. I mean, I'll listen to them, and I go, man, I could almost believe that. Except I know what the Word of God says. I mean, when I'm listening to them, I'm going, I agree, I like that. But then when I go back to the foundation of what God's Word says, I go, wait a minute. As much as they had me convinced, God's Word says otherwise. And so you and I have got to come to that place where we don't. In fact, I'll say this to you. There have been things that I have preached. And understand, I've been preaching, 700 years. I've been preaching a long time, all right? And through those years, I have preached things that years later I went back and go, I don't believe that. Now, don't get mad at me. All right? Don't get up and walk out. Well, God, he's a false prophet. No, when I preached it, I thought it was right. I'd gotten into the Word. I'd gotten into a thought or whatever, and I thought that was right. But as I continued to study, as I continued to pray, as I continued to hear other speakers and preachers and men and who I respected, all of a sudden my theology got corrected. I have people all the time say, Pastor, we've been in Jackson now for almost 15 years, and I have people say, Pastor, you're different than when you came to Jackson. And I go, that's good. No, we want you to be the same. No, I'm not the Lord. He's the only one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm changing. Why? Because God has given me new revelation, new understanding, and I go back and I say, I tweak it. And so what I'm saying to you is this, is that when you hear the Word of God preached, you ought to take it. You ought to take notes on it. That's why we give you things to take notes on every week. But when you get home, you ought to get into the Word of God and say, okay, does the Scripture back this up? Do I really believe that this is what God's Word's saying? And if I don't, then I have a right. I say all the time, it doesn't matter what book or who you're reading or who you're listening to, sometimes you have to eat the fish and spit out the bones. All right? And so be willing to do that. Let me hurry. Number three is to teach others. The reason I need to get into the Word of God is because I need to be able to teach others. Deuteronomy says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And he goes on and says, impress them on your children. Now look at that word, impress them. Man, I just don't want to tell little Johnny any, I want him to make up. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? Well, I want him to make his own decision about the things of God. You want little Johnny to make his own decision about the things of God? Well, then why don't you just let him eat ice cream and drink all the soda he wants and never make him eat vegetables? Wow. The Word of God says there that you are to impress them. That means to stamp them in your image. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. He said, let it be coming out of you. He said, tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. The Word of God says, listen, it is so important for us as Christians, as believers. I know this is talking to the Jews. I got that. But it's important for us to understand that we we have a responsibility not only for the Word of God to be alive in our heart, but we are to teach our children. We're to teach those who are around us. The Bible says we are to be ready to give an answer to every person who asks of us of the hope that lies within us. And so I've got to get in the Word of God if I'm going to know what the Word of God says. Hebrews 5:12 says this, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Wow. The elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, he's not bragging on them here. All right? He said, you need to understand that you are given the Word of God so that you can teach others. It's important for you to be able to take the Word of God and to share it in the life of a... He said, well, Pastor, I'm not a teacher. I got that. I'm not saying you got to have a degree in teaching. What I'm saying is that all... How many of you know that your children are taught by how you live? I remember years ago, and I think it was Ashley. We were driving. Here was one of my driving stories. We were driving somewhere, and she's still in a car seat, so she was little. You know, it's not like today when you have to ride in a car seat until you're 23. I don't understand this. I mean, some of y'all are going to be riding in car seats when we pull you in the hearse behind. You know, it's like, really? You're still in a car seat at that age? But anyway... But I mean, she was little. She was 2 or 3 years old, and she started talking really early, really early, and she hasn't quit. But anyway, and somebody pulled out in front of me, and for once I was sanctified. But I hear this little voice in the back seat go, "You idiot." You've been riding with your mama, hadn't you, kid? I knew it wasn't a mama. It was me. I knew I was the guilty party at that point. And that really is the way that it is that our children are being taught by us. And so it's needful for us to have the Word of God in us. And it's not, and we can't neglect the actual teaching of the Word of God, but our lifestyle, what we do. It's more important how we live than what we say. Amen. The fourth thing is to show you love God. The reason I should get into the Word of God, I mean, think about this. Think about getting married and never talking to your spouse. Somebody just thought, that'd be heaven on earth. We need to pray for you. You need some marriage counseling, but don't call me. We'll send you somewhere deep for me. Let me just give you scripture. I'll get out of this one. The book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." And then the scripture goes on to say, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And he talks about he won't cast his fruit before its time, and on and on. And what it's saying to us is this, is that the more that I love God, the more I want to spend time in his word. Why? Because the word of God shows me the character of God. It shows me who God is and how he operates. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my," what? "Commands." Uh-oh. I mean, how often do we see people say, "Oh, I love the Lord, I love Jesus," but they don't keep his commands. Do you know we live in a nation that everybody loves Jesus? Everybody loves Jesus. We live in a world that, pretty much Americans, you love Jesus? "Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus more than you." It's that whole thing. We love Jesus. But Jesus said, if you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you really love me, you won't live in ways that are dishonoring to my word. And we live in a nation, we live in a world where nobody wants anybody to tell them what to do. And so when you say, listen, and I'm just going to, can I just go ahead and talk to you? Listen, the Word of God says that you need to be married before you start shacking up. Well, now, Pastor, you have to understand, I'm in school. Pastor, you got to understand, I've got these kids. I love Jesus, I just don't want to do what he says. Because he said, don't commit adultery. He said, all sin is outside the body except the sin of fornication. And he says that does something to your soul. And our world has cast off those restraints. And I could go through a whole litany of things today. And we want to say, oh, I love Jesus. I love him with all my heart. But, and it's when the but gets kicking in there that somebody needs to kick. I'll let you finish it. If you love me, I'll get us out of here. We'll keep my commands. Number five is the reason I read the Word of God and study the Word of God and dig into the Word of God is to gain faith. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, says, the grass withers and the flowers fail, but the Word of our God endures for how long? Forever. Forever, right? Romans 10 says this. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. When you and I hear the word of God, when we get into the word of God, when we dig into the word of God, that's how we find ourselves moving forward. And in those moments is when we begin to see our faith growing and our faith becoming larger and larger and larger. The only way that I can get faith, let me say this to you, you cannot make yourself have faith. I've been told, well, if you just quote that scripture, you'll have faith. Listen, I've quoted some scriptures till my lips fell off, or it felt like it, and I still didn't have faith for it. I didn't believe. That word there says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. That word, and I don't want to be crazy, but that word means rhema. It means a spoken word of God. Let's do it this way. I cannot go to the scripture and say, Lord, if that's you, bid me come, and say, well, the word of God says Peter can walk on water, so therefore I can walk on water. That's not a word to me. In fact, if you want to try that today, we all want to come and watch. And we'll have a boat waiting handy. All right? Why? Because, first of all, you don't need to walk on water. It's nothing. Jesus is not there. And that was for a certain thing that was happening in Peter's life. But a lot of times people will grab a scripture. Are you okay? A lot of times people will grab a scripture and they'll grab it out of context and they'll mess with it and they'll say, well, the Word of God says I can have this. Well, you got to understand, it's got to be quickened to you. There are times that I'm reading the Word of God and it just jumps at me. When it does that, I know that God has given me a promise. There are other times I read the scripture and I'm reading and I say, by his stripes I am healed, but man, I don't feel good. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my... I can quote it. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul. I got it, but I don't have it. Everybody else is going to sink if they get out. Only Peter can walk out of the boat because he's the only one that got that word. You have got to have that quickening moment in your spirit. And when you got it, I don't care if there's 11 guys in the boat saying it's not going to happen. He's never going to be able to do it. It doesn't matter what they say. Once he says come, it is an assurance in your life that you can have it and that you can walk in it. That's how faith operates from the Word of God. Number six is this. Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The sixth reason that I study the Word of God is to know God. Not to know about God. A lot of people know about God. But I study the Word of God to know God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know, that you know this scripture, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His what? Purpose. To His purpose. And so you and I, as we dig in, as we study the Word of God, then we find ourselves knowing God. And here's what I found out. God is not man that He can lie. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to trust God way before I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust God before I trust anybody else, because God is not a liar. I'm going to get in His Word. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn about Him. I'm not going to learn what somebody else said about Him. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of things being said about Jesus. Well, Jesus was just love, love, love. Really? Ask those guys two times, not one, twice, that He walked into the temple at the beginning and at the end of His ministry, platted a whip and started beating up on them. I bet they weren't going, love, love, love. I bet they were singing, what's love got to do with it right then, all right? I mean, they're messed up. They're going, who is this rabbi? Who is this guy beating the stew out of us? He's kicking over the turtle doves. He's knocking things around. That didn't look like love then. See, we have to understand who Jesus is, how He operates. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do this? You know me, I'm going to be practical, and so I want to end with this today. Here's some steps to digging in to what God has for you. Number one is set a time, all right? Set a time. And we talked about that even last week with prayer, all right? In other words, make an appointment with God. Make an appointment with God. You say, really? Yeah, here's what I've learned about making appointments. What you prioritize, you will do. All right? If you just say, well, I'd like to read the Word of God, I can promise you, you're going to be very sporadic. But if you say, every morning I'm going to set my clock and I'm going to get up, I don't care when you do it. It doesn't matter to me. You know, some of you don't need to try to read in the morning, because you'll be having dreams and visions at that point in time. You know, it's all right. So set a time. Make an appointment with God. Number two is prepare. All right? And I'll talk about it. First of all, have a place that you do this in. All right? Have a place that you go to. I am so thankful that I have the ability, because of my office and everything, that I have a place every day I can go to and get away from everybody. I hit my do not disturb button on my phone and shut my door, and hopefully nobody's going to bother me, right? So prepare. Have a place. You need a place that's comfortable, a place that, get a Bible. That'd be good if you're going to be in the Word. Now I'm going to get in trouble, but let me go ahead and get in trouble. Get a Bible in today's language. Bless God, Peter and Paul had the King James Version. I'm going to use the King James Version. Okay. I won't argue with you, but I'll just tell you. Get the King James Version and lay it beside you. It'll make you feel better. But get you a translation that you can understand. There's a lot of them out there. I'm not even going to try to name them, but there's all kind of trends. Well, they're not 100%. Listen, if we got 90%, because I'm shutting up. Get you some tools, and what I mean by that, have a concordance, you know, a dictionary, a Bible dictionary. The internet's a can be a good place. Sometimes you get to chasing rabbits if you're not careful. But there's all kind of tools out there. And you need to have that when you're getting in the Word of God. Number three is ask what this means. Amen. Well, what does this scripture mean? Who's it written to? What's it about? Where was it written? When was it written? You know, what is going on at this time and place? Have you ever heard scripture that you know people use, but you knew that there was more to it? Right? I've heard this one say, well, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. That means you can't judge anybody. Well, we need to read the rest of that. Jesus teaching, judge not lest you be judged. And then He goes on to say, with what measure of judgment you mete out, you're going to get back. He says, how can you look at your neighbor who's got a speck in their eye and you've got a 2x4 in yours and judge them? He said, get the 2x4 out of your eye and then help your brother get the speck out of his eye. So again, you got to, you know, the word of God's got to flow. I mean, you read the Apostle Paul, he doesn't mind judging people. In fact, he tells them, he says, I'm going to judge you. He said, I'm judging you now in the spirit, but when I get there, you ain't seen nothing yet. Number four is, what's the application? In other words, how does this affect my life? Right, I just want to read it and say, okay, I read the word today. You know, we have a Bible reading plan on our website. It's a great tool for you to get through the word of God in a year. But how does this affect my life? In other words, what do I do now? You know, you read those scriptures and you go, well, that was really nice. No, what do I do with it now? See, in all of our lives, here's what I know, is that the word of God is given to us to bring us into relationship with God. It's so that you and I can come into fellowship with Him. And so there may be some of you today who are listening to me and your life is not in fellowship with Jesus Christ. You came to church today, or you came to one of the campuses today, or you're going to watch on television, and as you do, but you know that your life is not in relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, it doesn't do you any good to know the Bible if you don't know who wrote it. If you don't have a relationship with Him, listen, some of the meanest people I know the Bible. But they don't know the author of the Bible. Because if you get to know the author of the Bible, you'll have love. You'll have gentleness. You'll have kindness. And so the Word of God is given to us to help us to know that you and I have the opportunity of coming into relationship, first of all, with Jesus Christ, and then to see that relationship grow into the fullness of what He's called us into.